For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
So good evening, all bodhisattvas. I don't think I've met Ashley and Mark. I think we had a brief correspondence. You figured out how to get online. Thank you very much. There's some other people there. Quite mystery places. Anyway, welcome to Ancient Dragon Zen Gate in the virtual world. Soon they'll just be uploading our consciousnesses and we'll all be sitting together in somebody's disc someplace. Okay. So I've been a little obsessed with one of our Chinese ancestors' lines called a true person of no rank. Some of you may have heard this famous line. And I must say, I'll say something about it, but this is the theme of our talk tonight. So I could probably just say that and walk away and that's enough. But then again, we could practice with this for the next lifetime or two. So I don't know, a couple years ago, a Zen teacher who also is a calligrapher of Chinese characters, kanji characters, gave me a little plaque that said Mu Yi Xin Jin. So Mu Yi is without or no rank, as in, you know, like general, colonel, private, corporal, something like that. No rank, maybe no position. So mu is like without or no, and e is rank or position. I think maybe also sometimes it means throne or seat. Xinjin is true person. And, you know, over the course of my life, I've heard this saying many times, famous Zen saying. And I didn't have much traction for me. You know, sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other, or in one eye and out the other, something like that. So, but somehow I was like, wow, thank you so much for the gift of this writing, this calligraphy. And I decided to look up some things about this saying. And it's attributed to the famous Zen master, Lin Ji, right, who founded the Rinzai school. So we're in the Soto school. And Lin Ji is the other predominant Zen teaching school that survived till this very time. So Lin Ji, I guess, lived like in the 9th century, so we're told. I don't remember, but I was told that's where Lin Ji was, but I don't remember being there at that time. And Lin Ji's kind of famous for being an excitable boy. You know, he was quite sensitive to the consequences of typical human limited viewpoints and the ways that we have that get us into trouble and maybe hurt other people. So his school had a reputation for, you might say, demonstrations. Like they would shout and break things And these were sort of his teaching techniques. And at first I'm like, oh, that's kind of violent. You know, I'm a Soto Zen practitioner. We're kind of calm. So I really lacked, I think, an appreciation for Linji's performance art. You know, recently I was thinking, you know, if somebody who has been oppressed for countless generations breaks a window on Michigan Avenue, and I'm like, oh, I don't like violence, I think, well, maybe I can understand where the person is trying to get a point across about their own anger, but also their own dignity and their own pain at seeing and experiencing the consequences of our limited thinking. But anyway, Linji was known for avoiding explanations, but just physically and relationally demonstrating the Dharma. And sometimes shocking people out of some complacency, you might say. So this teaching exited the 9th century in China, and we'll fast forward a few hundred years to the 12th century China. And Linji had a granddaughter who herself was a grandmother. And Linji's granddaughter's name is Yu Daopo. Let's just say Daopo is kind of like grandmother. So grandmother Yu. And I'll tell you the little story of grandmother Yu, who, as far as I know, never met Linji face to face, at least in our conventional sense. So let me read the little story from this book called The Hidden Lamp about Yu Daopo. So, Yu Daopo sold donuts for a living. Kind of like our local coffee shops these days. And she studied with the local Zen master, Langye. And Langye, who was in this tradition of Linji, suggested to Yu Daopo that she practiced just with this phrase, the true person of no rank. And she apparently said, okay, I'll do that. Be happy to do that. And she contemplated this teaching. So this is even already a practice instruction, right? You hear a phrase that maybe you've heard 100 times before, but then some teacher says, hey, why don't you think about this a little bit? You know, if you're thinking about something during Zazen, you may as well think about true person with no rank. And then while she was delivering donuts, she was walking around and she heard some street person, probably another person of no rank, call him beggar, singing, happiness is in the lotus land. I don't know the tune. I've never heard this song. Maybe some of you had. But, you know, happiness in the lotus land. That sounds pretty good. And somehow she woke up when she heard this and she threw down her tray of donuts. So again, this is very much in this style of performance art, you know, throwing down a tray of donuts. Like I was thinking, you know, this is a woman, kind of a feminist act, right? Like to hell with these donuts. And her husband even said, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And she's like, oh, you have no idea about this realm, baby. And took off to go see Langye. So, you know, when you're enlightened, you want to go to somebody else who's woken up a little bit and have a conversation because you get kind of excited, I guess. So she went up to Langye's place down the road. I guess, who knows what her husband picked up the tray and the donuts. Who knows? But she was gone. And the day after, she was in Langye's assembly, kind of like we are now. and said, Longya said to the assembly, which one is the true person of no rank? Quick answer. Well, Lu Dalpo stood up immediately and shouted out. She probably didn't even raise her hand, you know, like we're kind of polite. She just shouted out, there is a true person of no rank who has six arms and three heads. When she uses her full strength to cut, Flower Mountain is split into two. Her strength is like the ever-flowing water, not caring about the coming of spring. So this is a pretty powerful situation, right? First of all, I don't know about you, but if I was sitting in that assembly and Longya was like, which is the person of true rank? No rank, true person of no rank. I'd probably be sitting there, I don't know, you know. But you, Dalpo, just stood right up, just like she cast away those donuts, you know, and stood up in the truth of her experience. And, you know, I'll just say a little bit about this verse because I want to kind of move on a little bit to Linji. So I'm going to just like flow along here with our ancestors. Hopefully they'll flow back with us. But this person with six arms and three heads is traditionally a demon, a jealous god, you might say. Someone in this realm, in a realm that is consumed with pride and envy. So I think it's really interesting. Like she kind of turns herself into a demon. And again, this is kind of subverting, let's say, overturning the idea of rank and almost maybe glorifying this demon who uses her full strength to cut through a mountain, through whatever is obstructing her love for the world, whatever gets in the way of seeing the true person of no rank in everyone. You could say this is the way of cutting through privilege or through dominance. And this strength is like ever-flowing water. You know, even in winter it flows. It's not waiting for spring to show up. So, enough about you, Dalpo. Those of you who come on Thursdays, you probably heard the story of you before. And that's just one sliver of the story. But let's have another bite. Is that okay? Another donut of Dharma? So we can look a little further. So this is case 38 in the Book of Serenity, which is where this, one of the places, let's say, in the canon of old Chinese teaching stories, where we will find this story of Linji. And this says, Linji said to the assembly, there is a true person with no rank always going out and in through the portals, through the gates of your face. Beginners have not yet witnessed it. Look, look. Then a monk came forward, one brave monk. Everybody else is sitting in the audience going, am I a beginner? Do I see this? You know, this monk comes forward and says to Linji, what is the true person, let's say, true person of no rank? And Linji got down from their seat and grabbed and held the monk. Grabbed the monk maybe by the collar. Held the monk. And the monk just was kind of like frozen, maybe a little traumatized by this somewhat violent act of Linji, maybe blown away that a vaunted teacher was actually going to come down to his level and meet him eye to eye, didn't know what to do. And then Linji just pushed him away and said, "Ah, the true man of no rank. What a dried piece of poop he is." There's other ways to translate this poop, but let's say poop. So this is where I feel there's an invitation. Like Linji was trying to wake people up. You could say to help them get a little woke about the fact that no rank is where we're at, which means like not creating these hierarchies of I'm better than you and I'm higher. You know, when Linji got down his seat, so teachers at that time sit on high seats above, and they still do that in certain places where the teacher will occupy, quote, the high seat. I guess the president occupies the high seat, you know. But this practice we have is about meeting each other always on equal ground. And that's the great question of this work. One of the great questions. There's so many in here, but this sense of invitation to play, you know, like Linji wanted to play and maybe somebody got scared, but sometimes uncomfortable things are where we learn the most, where our hearts break open and we can flow no matter whether it's winter, spring, summer, or fall. There's also Linji didn't like to use a lot of words, but you could, so I'm going to add some. Excuse me, Linji. But I think this is stop objectifying is what he's trying to say. Stop treating everybody and everything as an object to be used and exploited. So I felt that there's something about this teaching that was really touching to me because I felt it was a teaching for our time. Of we're still ranking, we're still building in structures that create I'm better than you. And sometimes we need to be shaken up in order to wake up. And I feel that these ancestors are taking us a little bit by the collar and saying, hey, wake up. And our whole culture is kind of going through this kind of convulsion. And sometimes we're like, oh, I don't want that. You know, I want everything like peaceful, you know. And I wish for that peace. And I hope that I would have the presence of mind of Yu Daopo or of even that monk to stand there and face the discomfort of not knowing. You know, that monk was probably like, I'm so excited when I heard this true person of no rank. Tell me more, Linji. And Linji really wanted to meet the monk. And so they did this thing together. Now, I'm not advocating that. And you'd probably, be a little freaked out if I grabbed you by the collar. Fortunately, we're all safe because we're in this environment, I guess. I don't know if there's an emoji or some kind of like something in the chat box for like, ah! This is basically just saying, you know, let's cultivate, let's engage in a practice that helps us meet a moment, a difficult moment, when we have to give up things that are comfortable and the comfort of privilege, let's say. And this encourages us, I think, in that. And also to be a little playful with it. You know, I think at the end of the story, it doesn't say things like, at night, Linji entered the monk's hall and covered them with blankets when they were cold. The story doesn't say that, but I feel that Linji might have done that. It does say that Granny, Yu Daopo, went home after her experience and continued to live with her husband and bake donuts. And occasionally some monk would try to pull rank on her, and she would invite a dialogue about that, hopefully helping that monk to meet the true person of no rank. So, that person is always inviting us. I saw a person with no rank go across the screen during Zazen. There was like a cattail. I think it was Fushin's animal companion. I was like, wow, is that a person with no, you know, it was wonderful. And so these, it's not just a human person that we're this person object, but, you know, we might have be living with all sorts of beings, including things like paper cranes, you know, all the time that are teaching us. And we might be a little afraid, but I just want to encourage everyone to just practice this true person of no rank. And I think that maybe one of our bodhisattva vows could be something like, I vow to practice until everyone realizes that they are a true person without rank, realizes their true dignity and wholeness. So let me know what you think, bodhisattvas. Thank you very much for listening to this.
So you can raise your hand like this, or you can also use the participants thing at the bottom and raise your hand. There's not an emoji for throwing down your donuts. Mark.
Last night I had just finished an online 6-day retreat about Buddhist psychology and neuroscience. And one of the monks said something that so identifies the stop objectifying. He said, we need to focus on the Dharma, not the drama. And it's so interesting to interchange just a few letters. But I can find myself sometimes getting lost in thoughts that are not Dharma-centered. And it's okay to be uncomfortable, and it's okay to say, I made a mistake, and bow to the person and recognize their higher self and not their lower self. And that is all.
And maybe we'll just add, recognize the whole enchilada and honor the lower end, the upper self, or turn that upside down and make it into a ball and throw it around. So thank you, Mark. That's really beautiful.
Ian.
Oh, Getsu. I was wondering if you could expand on the concept of the high seat and maybe, I guess, related to, I guess, day-to-day interaction. Are you just specifically talking about, I mean, if I'm, and how that relates to the person of no rank, I guess. It seems like if there is a high seat, that's like a type of rank. And I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Yeah, sure. Well, just from a technical perspective, often the teacher or the abbot will sit in the high seat, which is a special chair that's a little higher than everyone else in a monastery in China, sometimes even here. Certain ceremonies, there'll be a special tall seat that someone in a, quote, authority gets to sit in. So that's one way to look at it. But, you know, sometimes we all like to think we're sitting in high seats above someone. Remember, one of the first encounters I had with Buddhism in Southeast Asia was the monks who were teaching would sit above, and you had to always sit below them like this, especially if you were a woman, even lower. And I was like, this isn't for me. But here I am, hopefully not in too high a seat and willing to jump down at any moment or just like allow people to jump into your seat. So like it'd be really cool if the president of the United States would say to someone, hey, person bringing their food, do you want to sit in my seat a while? You look tired. And I feel kind of energetic, so maybe I'll walk around and get you a cup of coffee. So it's about not hanging on to a kind of power or privilege over someone, and that we meet in order to meet, truly meet, and honor each thing, whether you're in a high seat or not, you're meeting in a level ground in some way of respect. So maybe in the future in Zen places, there won't be high seats. Kind of one thing that's kind of nice about this is I feel we can all see each other and kind of be in a similar playing field. And I guess when somebody talks, they rise to the top, but if they don't talk for a while, they go to the bottom. I don't know, this Zoom thing, but it'll be interesting to play with that, right? Like Ian, on my screen, you're like in the top left corner and I'm sitting next to you. But on somebody else's screen, and maybe I'm sitting in the bottom. I don't know. Jan.
Hi. This is the first time I've tried the Zoom meeting, and I'm very pleased to be here. You know, the first thing I thought of when you began to speak of a man of no rank is Bobby Burns' poem. And the name of the poem is A Man's a Man for All That. And it starts out, is there for honest poverty that hangs his head and all that? And then, what though on hamely fare we dine, we're hod and gray and all that. Give fools their silks and knaves their wine, a man's a man for all that. And it goes on for several stanzas, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then at the fifth stanza goes like this. Then let us pray that come it may, as come it will for all that, that sense and worth or awe the earth shall bear the gree and all that. For all that and all that, it's coming yet for all that. That man to man the world o'er shall brothers be for all that. It's a lovely poem, and I just, it, you know, your Dharma talk made me think of that poem, so I thought I'd bring it up.
Thank you, Jan. I did not know that poem, but I'll check it out. However, it's really great to see you, I must say.
Thank you. Same to you.
Seem like you're hanging in there.
Oh, yeah.
A poem I thought of actually regarding this was by Emily Dickinson. I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. So this is about kind of like being a nobody too.
Yeah.
Right? Like most people are like, I don't want to be average. I want to be a somebody, you know, which is fine. I want to be seen. But in our practice, you enter that being seen by this nobodiness. Ashley, hello.
Hi, thank you. I don't know. I've never thought to question one's motivation for presenting a specific Dharma talk. So, but I think I heard you say that if you attend Thursdays, you've heard you talk about this before. So it's a recurring topic that you keep discussing. So I guess I have a two-part question is, what do you hope for your viewers? I don't know, watchers? I don't know, whatever. Participators? Yeah. To get out of this.
Followers? Are they like, you know, like, do they like me? Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, you're nobody, so maybe not. No. Okay. So what is it that you hope for us to get out of this? And what is it that really draws you to this? To this piece or this case, I guess. Thank you.
I hope that we all, starting with myself, but become free of our ability to divide people up into objects, to divide the planet up into an object, to that we learn to be gentle with ourselves and the earth so that we all flow together like the water. Not much more, that we can love fully without hesitation. Jan, thank you for that question.
Sure.
Jan, did you have something to say? Unmute yourself. No? Okay. David.
Thank you, Hogetsu. So I guess an observation and a question. So the observation, the thing about Yu Dao Po that amazes me and that I admire is that she doesn't like critique hierarchy. She doesn't, you know, say that here's this complex hierarchical system and I'm at the low rung. It's like no, it's just person to person, and I find that so remarkable. I partly want to think that's part of what makes her a granny. I just feel like that's part of granny energy, just able to cut through that like cutting through the mountain. So that's the thing about that, and I find this story baffles me the more that I hear it. It seemed easier to understand the first time. And so the other thing is, I wonder what the word true is about in true person of no rank. Is it like authenticity, truth telling, truly of no rank? I'm just really, I'd love to hear what you think about that word true in the phrase true person of no rank.
Mm-hmm. So true person is actually, I believe, comes from a Confucius idea in originally those characters, together a compound, which is a master, you know, like the immortal master in Taoist practice. And also I have heard that this word also, true person, speaks to an arhat. So one of the original disciples of Buddha that was used to translate arhat sometimes. Sometimes it refers to enlightened person. I could say Buddha nature. You know, I don't want to use too many words because I think, as you pointed out, it's in the demonstration. Like, we don't need an intellectual critique, but actually to just respond with the knowledge we have. Intellectual critiques are fine. You know, like if Yu Daopo wanted to make an intellectual critique, maybe she made one while she was making donuts one day, I'm not sure. But, you know, but it is true that this demonstration, so this true person, and person, the character is actually translated as man often, but person. And this true person, this true part is like authentic, I would say genuine, but really it means someone who isn't distracted all the time by our cerebral architecture, which tries to categorize things, and by the fear mechanisms that try to like push something away and keep my little comfort zone where I'm going to be killed. But it's the person who's like in free fall, going down with the ship, so to speak. Does that make some sense to you? Does that help you? I have the character here. I mean, true, genuine, actual, clear, distinct, sharp, some of the translations for true. Yes. Hello, Wade.
Sorry, trying to find the unmute button.
They're hard to find.
Yeah. When I've thought about that phrase in the past, kind of to speak to David's question, and I don't know that I'm adding anything to your answer, Hogatsu, maybe I'm just muddying the water, is that I've thought of it as like the difference between ultimate and conventional reality. Like there's the ultimate self and there's the conventional small self. So like your true self is the big ultimate self, which how could there be a true person with rank? Because all rank is small, conventional reality. It's all the delusion of us creating those hierarchies. So if you're your true self, like if you're actualizing your Buddha nature, then how could you have rank? So I guess it's to me, it's remembering, right? Remembering the true self or the emptiness of our individual selfhood, that allows us to meet as not just equals, but in fact, the same as not separate, as the same person, as like truly manifestations of the Buddha Dharma. I'm throwing too many words at it. You were probably better to just leave it with the demonstrations.
I'm going
to
get my stick out.
Yeah, I deserve it.
And thank you for your words. And I agree with all those words. However, I trust and I know that you just use them because words are fun to play with. And I would say that the adding the no rank also doesn't, like sometimes somebody appears to have a rank, but you don't have to hold them to that rank. You can verify their Buddha nature and they verify yours. But how you do that is when Linji grabs you by the collar and says, Wade, true person of no rank, show him to me right now. And Wade said, I've got a few words to say. I go, okay, great. Thank you very much. Hi.
Ogetsu, hi. I want to go back to the question of the high sea. And a couple of you have joined us on Zoom. And Jan, welcome to Zoom. I'm glad to see you. But at our temple on Irving Park Road, there's not a high sea. Most of the Zen centers in America that I've gone to, the teacher sits on a higher seat. At Ancient Dragon, we're all sitting on zabutons on the floor. So we've had a talk or two about forms and ceremonies here. The form at San Francisco Zen Center, and I think most American Zen centers, is there's a high seat for the teacher. And after the Dharma talk, the teacher or whomever gave that talk leaves the Zendo.
Taigen just left us. He'll be back. There he is. Hi, Taigen.
He just left the Zendo.
I see you, but you must unmute yourself, please.
Hello?
You're muted, Taigen. Taigen, you're muted.
It said it wasn't. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello?
Taigen, it might help if you turned off your video. That might help with the audio.
I will do that.
Yeah. You may have
Thank you very much, Wade. What I was going to say is just that... at Ancient Dragon, we don't have a high seat, and the teacher or whoever's giving the talk doesn't leave at the beginning.
Well?
Hello, am I back? Can you hear me?
You're back. You are back.
Say the word leave, you disappear.
My back. Anyway, I will try and get my. I seem to be unstable tonight on Zoom. Anyway, the point I wanted to make is that we don't have the high seat, and I think it would be better if we did, because part of what's happening in that story is that they're playing with these forms. There are these forms that seem to give rank, like the teacher sitting up higher, and the teacher whomever the speaker is. For that day, leaving instead of staying to bow out with everyone. And those are traditional forms. At Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, from the time we started at Irving Park and before, I've chosen not to do that because I feel like the rank is unimportant, it's not so important. But people probably do project rank onto the teacher or priests or, practice leaders or whatever. And somehow having that high seat allows us to play with the whole idea. So because there's a high seat, Linji could come down from the seat and grab the monk by the scruff of his robe or something and we could undo those. So anyway, this is just a question about forms and, somebody brought up the high seat. I do think it's better not to have a high seat. So we're all in this together. But it's just interesting. Those forms allow us to unrank the forms. So that's all I wanted to say about that high seat business.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Taigen. Yes, sometimes actually it's easier to see the high seat when there's a physical high seat there. But I would encourage everyone to look for the high seat even when there's not a physical high seat and see who's sitting in that and invite them to come down and play.
Yes. That's very generous of you. I was going to say to take over the high seat for yourself, but that's probably why I'm sitting here.
Well, if we're all on the same level, then we're all on the high seat, maybe. Or we can be. Or we can all be on the high seat.
If you see somebody on the high seat, and that person does not want to leave that seat, that you might wonder what's happening with that and think, how could I help them? So sometimes you might say, could I sit there, please? You know, could I eat your sandwich? Ah, there you are. Hello.
Hello. thank you for your talk. The first thing is, now I really, really want a donut. then I'll go have one after this. your talk made me think of a few things. One was, when I was going through, I switched careers about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and into something completely different that I had never done before and that I had no experience in. And when I was starting the job interview process, of course, I was very nervous because I, in my past career, you know, I knew very well how to kind of deftly navigate interview processes and knew how to kind of get where I wanted to go. And because I was in a new field and didn't know anything or didn't feel that I knew anything, I was very nervous to interview or to even network and to talk to people because I was like, well, I don't know anything about this. I got some good advice from people, one of which was that, you know, anyone that you talk to is also a human being and, you know, they're not any more special or if they hold some kind of, you know, prowess above you, that's, you know, that's just an illusion. You know, they are who they are. And, you know, it helped me a lot to go into interviews and to network, and it made me much less nervous. And part of that is, of course, also probably a little bit of privilege. The fact that, you know, maybe if they saw that I was confident or that I was white and a man, that, you know, they were applying some kind of hierarchy on me, you know, so it kind of worked both ways. So it reminded me of that a little bit. And also, oddly, I guess a weird segue, it reminded me of capitalism and how capitalism, I feel, and please, anyone, you know, feel free to comment or correct me, I feel that capitalism wants a society that is under capitalism to kind of make everyone feel inferior to each other, you know, because it allows goods to be sold. You know, if I don't have the best donuts, you know, oh, what kind of a person are you? You don't shop at this person's donut shop? Well, you know, or things like that. And so I think if we can dismantle that idea or system, you know, we can kind of see each other as we are, you know, kind of all on the same level. So it made me think of that, which maybe that's a stretch, but I wanted to share that.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I'm so happy you brought this up. And one of the things that I was thinking as you were talking was the experience, and I know how many people have had this experience, of going to a place where, and sometimes you're seen as an expert, like expert musician or revered person, and then you're seen as nothing, you know, or as unskilled or unworthy or less than. And I've really enjoyed experiences where, unwillingly, most of the time, I've been devalued because I feel like this has given me the shred of empathy for what it's like for people in our culture for instance, Black people in our culture, or women, by the way, or LGBTQ people, you know, the constant pressure of feeling like you're always thought of as less than. And so there's the other side of it is I don't want to feel that way, but I have to pass or prepare to go along. I have to go along with the culture and like act confident and like I know something. And I think I'd wonder, like, you know, with Lindsay could inspire us to kind of, you know, be like, I'm really frightened at this job interview because I don't know a thing, but I was like amazing at something else. You know, like if we start something like that or just really put forth our vulnerability and our truth, how that can open up some energy. But I do think that's right. Many systems are structured to, and this was true in Linji's time, and it is not untrue in Buddhism in America, that we're in this time of struggling with this, the repercussions of oppressions. And, you know, I look to myself and see where is that? You know, even when I'm talking like this, I feel a little bit like, you know, I have my robes on and I wear them as respect for the Dharma. And, but sometimes, and I'm a teacher who sews these robes, sometimes I worry that they're a tool of oppression. And I have to wear that. And I'm glad I have to wear that because it is the way things are. And on the other hand, there's some things going on in our culture that comes from this discomfort from people smashing things and shouting and being upset that is part of a growth process. So, you know, part capitalism wants to rank people and devalue and squeeze out people who can't be monetized. But also we have this kind of weird thing is it also wants to exploit democracy to pretend that everybody's equal when, quote, Animal Farm, some are more equal than others, you know. So this is about this work. This is why it means so much to me, Ashley, is that this is what this is about. So I really appreciate your engagement with this, Mike, and everyone else.
Thank you, Pegasi.
David Weiner.
Slightly off topic, but, you know, I don't know if everybody can see this or not.
Person,
yeah, okay, yeah. It's the kanji for a person, and if you're saying Xi Jin, it probably is that. The whole part of that which is interesting is that it's two things together, and one thing is holding up the other. And that you're not a person is not just one character like this. It has to have somebody holding, or actually, because you're looking from that way, mirror image. It has to be like that. But you're mm-hmm. held up by other people. And that's the whole thing of, like, say, you know, objectifying somebody else. Then what you're doing is you're going like this. You're taking away your support and you're becoming this. And that's what came to mind when you were talking about that objectification, that I find myself more recently thinking that maybe I'm not a Zen person. I'm more of a Theravadan person because I get so emotionally connected. And to me, it's such a beautiful thing to have that person holding you up, that's the relationship that is so important, and that what to me, Buddhism means is that we're all holding each other up. We're all holding each other up. And that whole concept of the character is the practice. And it's just a thought that came up. And in my sense of rank, I wanted to tell everybody. interesting about having that sense of rank.
David has the rank of having lived in Japan. So his Kanji is better than mine for sure. But yes, that's a wonderful image of non-separation. Yet, including the individual, this is like the manifestation of the dual mirror samadhi. You know, form and reflection behold each other. But there's this, you know, going in and out of the portals of your face. That's manifesting that. So it's pretty beautiful, David. Thank you.
Welcome. It's just that whole sense of being supported, you know, that's what really comes to me from that. And Shin could probably be, kind of again going back to Kanji, could be one of the characters or one of the reading for Shin is also God or spirit, depending on which character you're using. And so, you know, it's that sense of divine, of enlightenment, that sense of, you know, the true person without rank is the true person is the one who has achieved the sense of realizing we're all together, that we're all connected, and thus doesn't have any rank.
Mm-hmm. So the way to practice with that, of course, is to see when you're not seeing that. When do I not feel supported by all beings? Explore that. You know, like when I wake up in the morning, sometimes there's no coffee at home and I feel like I'm not being supported by all beings. So, when we get a little uncomfortable, we're like, I'm not supported. No.
It's wonderful that you said that just now. It strikes me that wake up and feel that you're supported.
Whether you feel it or not, it's the case.
Yeah, no, but
thank you.
It's 8:52 now.
So, any last words? We can all support each other in falling asleep and support each other in waking up. And